This episode is sponsored by Celestron, manufacturer of high-quality telescopes and an industry leader in developing exciting optical products with revolutionary technologies.
I'm Kelly Beatty of Sky and Telescope magazine, and tonight we're going on a tour of the stars and planets that you'll see overhead during December. First, let's keep tabs on the moon's whereabouts, then we'll watch for some impressive shooting stars, keep an eye out for a passing comet, track down five planets, and gaze at a tall tower of bright evening stars. Wow. So bundle up, grab your curiosity, and come along on this month's Sky Tour. December is the month of the solstice, when the sun appears farthest south in the sky. That means winter for us, and summer for Australians. This year, the December solstice comes at 10:59 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on the 21st. You know, virtually every culture has celebrated the winter solstice as a seasonal turning point, a sign that brighter, longer days lie ahead. But none of them celebrates the solstice because it's the longest stargazing night of the year. The truth is that December is one of the best times of the year to watch the stars. For one thing, unlike much of the summer, you step outside and the air just looks clean, and clean air makes the stars and planets easier to see. Then you factor in what this season has to offer overhead, which is a lot, and it gets dark early, by 5 p.m. in most places. But before we get to the stars and planets this holiday season, let's check out the moon, which is going to be very busy this month. New Moon is December 4th, just 2 weeks after the lunar eclipse that I hope many of you got to see. And this particular new moon lines up to cause a total solar eclipse. But don't get too excited, because the path of totality crosses only Antarctica and a remote stretch of the Southern Ocean. Anyway, a few days later, there'll be a lovely crescent moon in the evening sky. On the evening of December 6th, as twilight begins to fade, watch for a razor-thin crescent just below the brilliant beacon of Venus. They're just 2.5 degrees apart. That's 5 times the moon's diameter. It'll be an arresting sight. See if there's a faint glow on the dark part of the circular lunar disk filling out the circle. This is called Earthshine, a ricochet of sunlight that first reflects off our planet, then onto the moon's night hemisphere, which we then see back here on Earth. Filling out the lunar calendar, first quarter falls on the 10th, and the full cold moon on the night of the 18th. Last quarter follows on the 26th. As you'll hear in a moment, these dates have a bearing on what's arguably the best meteor shower of the year. The annual Geminid meteor shower peaks this month, late on the night of Monday, December 13th for the west coast of North America, and early on the 14th for the east coast. Pretty much everyone knows about the Perseid meteors that arrive each August, but the Geminids are underappreciated, and often they produce the year's best meteor event. Ordinarily, you can count on the Geminids to deliver a pretty good show, maybe one meteor per minute from a really dark location. This shower gets its name because the shooting stars you'll see all seem to streak across the sky from the direction of the constellation Gemini. On the night of the 13th, Gemini rises by about 7 p.m., so that's good. You can park yourself in a comfortable chair or even lie flat on the ground and watch the show all night long. However, a fat gibbous moon is also in the sky at dusk, so its light will wash out the faintest Geminids. If you're truly dedicated, wait until the moon sets around 4 a.m. to see the most meteors. It's December, okay? So if you're somewhere where it's cold this time of year, make sure you dress warmly. So why do we see these particular meteors every mid-December like clockwork? Meteor showers happen when our planet plows through a stream of fine particles that have been shed by a comet and spread out along its orbit. Earth crosses the Geminids' orbit each December, but in this case the source is not a comet, but an asteroid called Phaethon. This object has a looping orbit that passes only 13 million miles from the sun, and so temperatures on its rocky surface can climb to more than 1,300 degrees Fahrenheit. Astronomers think the searing sunlight causes the surface of Phaethon to crack and crumble, and then the sun's radiation pressure drives these particles off into space. Wow. When Comet Neowise burst on the scene in mid-2020, I know you probably headed outside for a few evenings to spot it, and I hope you succeeded. There's nothing more captivating than to see the gossamer tail of a comet framed by a starry sky. Well, guess what? There's another comet in the sky right now, and it should reach its peak brightness this month. It's Comet Leonard, discovered by astronomer Gregory Leonard in Arizona back on January 3rd. It's been moving closer to the Sun and Earth in the months since. Now, this won't be a knock-your-socks-off comet like Hale-Bopp, but it should become satisfyingly pretty. And, of course, predicting how bright it gets is notoriously tricky. As my longtime friend and famous comet hunter David Levy says, comets are like cats. They have long tails, and they do what they want. So, with those words as a caution, let me say you've got two chances to see Comet Leonard this month. The first comes before dawn on the mornings of December 10th through 12th. You'll want to look east about 45 minutes before sunrise. The comet might be visible as a small, softly lit cloud over the horizon. Then it will swing into the evening sky, where your chances of sighting it should improve. Look toward west about 45 minutes after sunset, beginning December 14th. The comet's fuzzy tail should be pointing toward upper left. Your very best opportunities might be the evenings of the 17th and 18th, when Comet Leonard will be almost directly below brilliant Venus by about 5 degrees. That's half the size of your clenched fist held at arm's length. Happy hunting! Speaking of Venus, technically you have a chance to spot all 5 bright planets this month, but you'll have to work at it. Let's start in the sky before dawn. Look for Mars low in the southeast. This will be a little easier toward the end of the month, but you'll still need a really clear sky and an unobstructed horizon. It's much the same with tracking down Mercury. This hot little world makes an appearance over in the west just after sunset, but my advice is to wait until the very last days of 2021. On December 30th and 31st, yes, New Year's Eve, look for Mercury just a few degrees directly to the left of Venus. Now by then, Venus itself will be setting soon after the sun goes down, so plan to look for both Venus and Mercury about 45 minutes after sunset. Once again, a clear view toward the southwest will be essential. Actually, the western evening sky is packed with planets right now. As twilight gives way to full darkness, look to the upper left of Venus by about 3 fists. You'll come to a bright, easy-to-spot star, though it's no match for Venus. That's actually the planet Jupiter. And halfway between Jupiter and Venus is a third planet, Saturn, that's fainter still. This trio will stay pretty much the same for the entire month, though as 2021 comes to a close, all three will drift inexorably toward the western horizon after sunset. By New Year's Eve, Venus will be setting during twilight, with Saturn dropping from view 1.5 hours later, and Jupiter setting 2 hours after that. So enjoy them while you can. With all this planetary action going on, are there any stars worth viewing? You bet. We might be on winter's doorstep, but the evening sky is still hanging on to some of the stars of summer. Look well to the upper right of where the sun sets, about halfway up in the sky. That bright, icy white star is Vega, which is sometimes called the summer star because it rides high in the sky during the balmy evenings of July and August. But now it's low in the west, as if deflated by the oncoming cold. Catch it soon after dark, before it sets for good until next summer. Above Vega, by about 1.5 fists, is a slightly dimmer star called Deneb. It forms the head of the Northern Cross, which stands more or less upright during the evening at this time of year. Do you see it? This is what astronomers call an asterism, a pattern of stars like the Big Dipper that's easy to spot, but not really a full-fledged constellation. Now swing completely around until you're facing east. Around 8 p.m. early in December, and by 6 p.m. at month's end, you can take in what S&T columnist Fred Schaff calls a tower of brilliance that starts near the horizon and climbs all the way to overhead. Start low down by finding Orion and the easy-to-spot vertical trio of stars that mark his belt. To Orion's left, by a couple of fists, are the twins of Gemini, anchored by the stars Castor and, below it, slightly brighter Pollux. That's the general area from which the Geminid meteors will seem to originate as they zip across the sky. Above Orion is Taurus the Bull, whose angry eye is marked by the reddish superstar Aldebaran. Look a little more than one fist above Aldebaran for a fuzzy patch of light. This is the Pleiades, a tight little nest of stars. Sometimes they're called the Seven Sisters. If your eyesight is decently sharp, you'll see that the six brightest stars of the Pleiades form a tiny dipper shape. But don't confuse this with the real Little Dipper, which is much bigger and located due north in the sky. To Aldebaran's upper left is the bright star Capella. This is the alpha star in the constellation Auriga, or sometimes it's pronounced Auriga, which you can make out as a broad, misshapen hexagon with Capella at its top. Now, Auriga has a split personality. He's either a charioteer or a goat herder, depending on whom you ask. Capella means she-goat, and just to its right is a faint, narrow triangle of stars, sometimes called the kids, as in baby goats. Continue upward and a little to the right of Capella to spot a loose chain of stars about two fists long. This marks the mythical hero Perseus, and directly overhead is Andromeda, the chained maiden of Greek mythology. Her mother, Queen Cassiopeia, is the bright zigzag of five stars to Andromeda's left, toward north. Now let's end the evening tour by looking a bit west of directly overhead. Look for four medium-bright stars at the corners of a huge square that's bigger than the size of your clenched fist. That's another asterism, called the Great Square of Pegasus, and it marks the body of a mythical horse that's flying across the sky. But this isn't much of a horse. It's upside down, as seen by us northerners, and it has no hindquarters. Look for two loose strings of stars stretching from the corner at upper right that trace the horse's front legs. The neck and head extend westward from the corner at lower right, ending in the bright star Enif, an Arabic word meaning the nose. Now, if you're lucky enough to have good dark skies, and if there's no bright moonlight, look past Enif for a parade of four small constellations. These are Equuleus, the little horse, Delphinus, the dolphin, Sagitta, the arrow, and Vulpecula, the fox. Each of these is marked by only three or four dim stars, so they might be a challenge to spot. You can always use the star chart in the center of every issue of Sky and Telescope to help you track them down. That's about it for this month. If you want more tips for viewing the night sky, including a free interactive star chart for any time or date, check out our website, skyandtelescope.org. If you haven't already subscribed, you can find this Sky Tour on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you listen. And please leave a rating or review. It'll help others to find the show. And if you want to explore the solar system and universe more deeply, please do check out the full line of binoculars and telescopes available at Celestron.com. Sky Tour is a production of Sky and Telescope, a division of the American Astronomical Society, and is produced by me, Kelly Beatty. Next month, we'll spend some time with the easy-to-spot constellations Cassiopeia and Orion. Until then, I wish you clear skies.